Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes LifeMark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
LifeMark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
Recording.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Friends, we've got a big show straight ahead for you today. Of course, on a day like today where we kick off a new week, there's always a lot to get to. But I've got a very special friend coming back to the microphone and excited to welcome back David Limbaugh. He joins me next. Keep it right here. It's Kevin McCullough Radio for this Monday.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, we've got a big week and a programming note for you. Not only will I be doing the Kevin McCullough Radio Show, what you're listening to, what is syndicated on, 200 outlets nationwide. And then thank you to the USA Group for picking us up a few weeks back, making us available to their 700 stations now. Very excited about all of that. But also in the evening, we'll be doing Radio Night Live per normal. Tonight's Monday, so we do money subjects on Monday. But in between the two, if you have not yet downloaded the Salem News Channel app, you need to, because I will be filling in for Wilkow on Wilkow TV, Andrew Wilkow, another friend, for the duration of this week, as he has taken the grandbabies to go see Grandpa. We call him Phil Boyce around these parts. But you can catch me all week, 5 p.m. Eastern, hosting Wilkow TV. And then, of course, you want to keep the Salem News Channel app active, because my Saturday evening television broadcast comes your way there as well. So that's all straight ahead. It's a busy week. I've got so much to do, I can hardly think straight. But I am very, very glad to welcome my next guest. David Limbaugh is somebody who, if you know the name Limbaugh, then immediately you're associating it with his famous brother, who was, of course, the godfather of everything we know about talk radio in today's existence. We lost a great man when we lost his brother. But David himself has been a talented attorney, writer, columnist, and in recent years, he has done some of the best expositional work in uncovering church history, biblical doctrine, theological controversies. He has addressed in many of his recent books, and he has his latest one in that kind of vein. I am holding a copy of it here for you watching by radio, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament, and I find it very, very fun to note that it is co-written by Kristen Limbaugh Bloom. I think that might be the very Kristen Limbaugh that was running around King's College and even helping us here at Salem, New York on occasion with a few of her flatmates at one point in time. David, welcome back. It is so good to have you.
Kevin, thank you so much. Long time, no talk.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
And let's talk about your princess. She's grown up, gotten married. She's working for one of your best clients, Mr. Hannity, and over at Fox News for much of what's called the workday.
Yes, and she is the one that works for Phil Boyce and you and all you guys, and thanks for that experience.
David, I want to talk to you about the book. I know you're excited about it. Your Jesus books have just been off the hook in terms of impactful, well-researched, well-documented, all the rest of it. But I have to ask you a couple of questions about what's going on in the world around us, because I know a lot of people are interested in your insights. And I don't know that I've had you on except maybe once since Rush passed. So, again, our condolences. And I know that you were very close to your brother, and you were a very big advocate for him. You represented him in all of his agency work and helped him get those contracts and all the rest of it. But I know that beyond that, he was a brother that you truly cared about.
Yeah, and we were close, and I did do his contract work. We texted all the time. Now, he couldn't talk on the phone very easily because of his hearing issue, but we did constantly text. So after he died, I mean, it was like a void for many, many, many reasons. But one practical reason was that every 5 minutes I'm thinking I got to share something with him, and my conscious mind doesn't realize he's passed away.
Oh, wow.
So it takes a microsecond to realize, oh, I can't text him.
Yeah. But,
and so just mundane stuff, not even necessarily political, just all kinds of things we talked about.
Yeah, we've got inflation like we've not seen since the Jimmy Carter era and maybe even beyond. We've got supply chain problems. We've got all kinds of other significant world affairs issues staring us straight in the eyes. We've got Iran with a burgeoning nuclear weapon. We've got China and Russia ganging up on us. We've got any number of you just point in any direction. We've got crime that's breaking out in every American city street, most of them run by Democrats, for instance. David, I've never seen it in the modern era this messed up, and it went downhill quickly. What's your assessment?
It is exactly yours, and I'm telling you, there's a common denominator that describes and explains every one of these existential threats to the United States, and that is that the Democrats are doing it deliberately. You can tick off every one of these problems, and they are either caused by Democrats and their policies directly, or they are exacerbated by Democrats and their policies. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
We've got this situation with China. They are a threat to us in every way. We've downscaled our military. China is building its military 6 times faster than we are. We have downscaled ours and gone to wokeism and not even prioritizing national defense. The crime in the cities is a direct result of liberal leftist prosecutors not willing to prosecute and changing the bail policies and demonizing police. So we've got civil unrest, as you said, in every city. In China, we have China buying up real estate, and they can close us off economically. We have farmland. We're the breadbasket of the world. China needs us. They need to deal with us. And Biden is deliberately allowing, and the Democrats are refusing to cooperate with Republicans in legislation to prohibit the sale to Chinese communist-related entities on our farmlands and other lands that are closely situated to our strategic nuclear sites where they could interfere with the communications and our very strategic nuclear capability. We have the worst one, maybe, is the green policy, which is utterly insane and makes no sense. And even if you didn't believe, like I do, that this climate change is pure idolatry and fantasy, even if you believe we can interfere with the global thermostat, you would have to understand that what we're doing is not effective. Even if we implemented the Kyoto, by the way, even if we implemented the draconian provisions of the Kyoto Protocol, we couldn't change global temperature more than a degree Celsius in 100 years. So even if you accept their nonsense about the climate change,
it doesn't fix the problem. Yeah.
But even it's worse than that, because we are doing this. We are restricting, we're sabotaging our own domestic energy production. And in the meantime, China is going full gun on coal and gas and the rest of it. And so they are laughing all the way to the bank. We're hurting ourselves. They're helping ourselves. And we know global warming, global climate change, if you believe it, it's a global phenomenon. It's not like a local pollution thing in Lake Erie, like when we debated in the 60s when I was in high school. It was about pollution. You can fix a river in the United States, that's okay. But climate change, the greenhouse effect, is definitionally global. Therefore, if we do something and the other countries don't, like China and India, we might as well not have done it. And so we know that we don't even ask them to do it until the 30s. Yeah. But they're never going to do it. Communism means lying. And so they lie, they say whatever they're going to do, but they don't even pretend. And so you have to assume that they are sabotaging the United States. Some people could say, well, they're not against the United. How else do you explain
it? Yeah, no, there's no way to explain it other than that. We're speaking with David Limbaugh, and the book is called The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament. It is his latest treatise. We're going to get into it and what it was like to write it with his daughter when we come right back from this quick break. Stay with us.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yet to come, we will speak with Dr. Gina Loudon. The unbelievable remarks by President Biden this week when he admitted that he had a relationship with a 12-year-old openly on an open microphone. It was the subject of my town hall column yesterday. Some people say, Kev, why would you write about something so tawdry? Nobody's written about it. And the thing is, the Biden's history as a family is littered with this stuff. And in recent years, they have used the FBI to come along and just clean it up for them every single time. Laptop left here, a diary left there, a cell phone left here, stuff that their people, their family, their persons have said. And yet they shush it all up and the FBI comes and takes all the equipment away. Why is that? And are they going to do that with this blurb that went out globally on Friday? We'll get into that with Dr. Gina and others straight ahead. But we continue with David Limbaugh, my very good friend, someone who I have immense respect for, but also just have a personal affection for, as he's done such good things for myself and the industry of talk radio. He has really helped a lot of us that are able to speak common sense to you do it better. Because of his expertise in the legal arena, and we're just grateful. David, this most recent book you co-wrote with Kristen Limbaugh Bloom, your daughter, your oldest, your firstborn, The Resurrected Jesus is the title, The Church in the New Testament. Give us the elevator pitch. Why did you want to do this? You've written so many good books about church history and theology thus far. What was it about this topic that you felt like it's time to do it now?
Well, the last book, my Christian book, which I wrote, was Jesus is Risen. And it was about the book of Acts in the New Testament, the history of the early church, and the first seven of the Apostle Paul's, no, the first six of the Apostle Paul's epistles to the churches. This book, we're just continuing the march through the New Testament, covers the last six or seven books of Paul's. So, or letters or epistles, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
So they cover the prison epistles, which he wrote from house arrest in Rome, and the pastoral epistles, which he wrote to his colleagues and understudies, Timothy and Titus. The point is to go through the Bible itself, to go through the actual text, and either just state the text verbatim or paraphrase it, then intersperse commentary, both from experts from the ancient days, like the early church fathers, and the experts all the way through, and modern scholars, and then add our own insights and commentary. But this one adds another element, which is prayer. Kristen is a prayer warrior and spirit-filled, and she has a facility for prayer. So I asked her, in addition to helping me with the text, to write prayers, and then I would edit, and we'd go back and forth throughout the text so that the reader could interact directly with the content of Scripture and become closer to God in the process as they read the Bible and pray about it.
What a wonderful concept for a book. What was it like? Now, maybe Kristen has helped you with other research projects in the past, so maybe this wasn't that new, but what was it like to write a book and put her name on the cover?
It was new. Actually, she's written for Fox op-eds on Christian-themed topics, and she loves to write, and I think she's good at it. And as I say, she's learned a lot, especially way more than I ever knew at her age. In fact, I wasn't even a real believer at that age.
Hmm.
And I just thought, you know, I've, as you mentioned before, I've been given so many advantages by friends and especially my brother, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, you, others, where if I didn't have those contacts, I don't care if I'm talented or not, and I'm not saying I am, I don't know that I could have ever had my foot in the door to write columns or books, because it's a very difficult thing. You can be the best writer in the world, and a publisher won't want to take you if there's not some platform that will guarantee or at least predict good sales.
Right.
And so I've been so blessed that I wanted to help Kristen, give her a jump start into the area, because I know she's talented.
Yeah.
Give her a little opening and write this with her so she can see how I work and research and help her, mentor her along, and just jumpstart her book writing career if that's the way she wants to go. And it's just been so gratifying because we didn't have any problems. She was very pregnant. I know you're not supposed to use adjectives to describe pregnancy. You're either pregnant or not. But she just and so we worked through the whole thing. And the only time there it was difficult was when she had a 2-week period there where she was really, really pregnant. And so we had to wait a little while and then go on. But we were ahead of our deadline, so it didn't matter. But it was one of the most gratifying experiences of my life to be able to work with one of my kids.
Oh, that's nice. That is a really good story. All right, real quickly about the book. What was the thing about Paul's letters that you cover in this text that most impacted you in the researching, the writing, the thinking, the studying, the prepping for it? Give me one thing that really impacted David Limbaugh about what Paul wrote.
Well, like you, I've read the Bible a number of times and read these books a number of times, these epistles, and so I'm very familiar with Paul. But I think what really hit home this time, and as you know, every time you read the Bible, you get a new insight. God speaks to us, and we call it the living word, I think, because it can reach different people in different times, however they're situated. God's speaking to us directly and maybe differently each time we read the same unchangeable words. But I was taken by just how personal these struggles were that Paul experienced.
Hmm.
And we see that throughout the Bible. Bible writers tell their warts and all, which makes it more believable. They don't pretend to be some puritanical people who never sin. They tell us their difficulties. They tell us their struggles. They tell us when they get angry. And they tell us when, for example, Paul was upset because some of these churches that he had just planted in the Mediterranean basin, Mediterranean Sea, right by the Mediterranean Sea, were falling away from the true doctrine, the Christian doctrine. So he's writing these corrective letters saying, no, do not add anything to salvation by faith alone. It's not salvation by faith plus circumcision or plus adherence to Jewish rituals. It is salvation by faith alone, lest the finished work of Christ be insulted. Keep your eyes focused. You can do what you want as to rituals and circumcision, but don't you dare say that it's necessary for salvation, or that cuts through the heart of Christianity. So he wrote these letters to the different churches, and they end up being scripture. God, of course, superintended the whole thing. So these were God-breathed words through Paul that are now available, have been available to Christians throughout history, and they also instruct us as to Christian living.
But your personal highlight of the book was just seeing the human side of Paul and how deeply that struggle went.
Yes, and how deeply it went, how he overcame, and that's an inspiration to us. Paul, the foremost evangelist of Christian history, actually struggled, and he actually prayed to God and tells us to pray, just like Jesus prayed.
Yeah.
Well, if those guys, and if I say guys, if Jesus, the God-man, had to pray, if Paul, the foremost evangelist, needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? And so I just love that part of it, where it enables us to relate to these people as real people.
Well, I appreciate that, David. And my own pastor, we've been going through Acts for, I don't know, most of the year. And he just covered a portion of Paul yesterday. And just a reminder, God can turn the heart of somebody who wanted to kill his very children
into someone who has become probably the most prolific evangelist and church planner of all time, and just the amazing miracle that grace and the gospel perform. Anyway, friends, I want you to get the book, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament. David Limbaugh and Kristen Limbaugh Bloom co-authored this. It's going to be well worth your while. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Kevin. It's an honor. Thank you so much.
Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.